Hey streamers, welcome to the Streaming Lab podcast. Jan here from the Streaming Lab newsletter in Dubai on Friday, March 1st. Each episode, we are having a look at the latest headlines that are shaping streaming in Middle East, North Africa, and India. I'm joined by Vinit, also in Dubai. How are you, Vinit?
Hello, Jan. Very good. Hello to the streamers. Yes, March Madness, March 1st. As they say in the US, March Madness has started. Hopefully, March is not that mad. But a lot of madness going on in the streaming world, so we'll catch you up.
Always. What happened this week in streaming in MENA? F1 major announcement, not only in MENA, but also India. So it's a common shared news this week. Second news first, the Ramadan lineup announced from many players. So I'll share with you some highlights. And then it's not a news, but it's a report that just came out. Non-English content demand surges in the MENA region. And then for streaming in India, nice. Same. F1, we'll tell you everything about it, Formula One. Then this week has been a transformational week in India media. And finally, India Today Group Originals. Let's start directly with a big sports news of the week. Formula One has announced this week a 10-year agreement with beIN Sports to exclusively broadcast F1 across not only Middle East and North Africa, but also, do you know, the third region or country?
No.
Turkey.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a big country. So yeah, it's a Menat.
Ah, nice one.
Yeah, I was also surprised. So it's a good one from beIN, definitely. To give you a little bit more detail, it's more than a multi-year deal because it's a 10-year deal covering 25 territories. And of course, it will grant beIN the rights to broadcast the races every weekend. But not only, as you know, there are more and more additional content, mainly around the practice sessions, the what they call F1 sprint events, and everything related to the Grand Prix. It will be available on some of the beIN Sports channels, and of course, on the streaming service TOD. When you look at it, it makes a lot of sense. Do you know when, what was the country that welcomed the first Grand Prix in Middle East? It was 20 years ago.
Let me guess. Bahrain?
Yeah, exactly. So Bahrain, the first Bahrain Grand Prix was 20 years ago. And yeah, since then, it was kind of it became kind of a hub, you know? And it was a great way for the region to not only discover, because of course they knew about Formula One, but to increase the fan base, I would say. And another data that I got that I think is very interesting is that more than 50% of the new fans in MENA started following Formula One in the last 4 years. So it definitely shows that the traction is amazing. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, there is an appetite for Formula One in the region, especially among young people, so digital savvy, kind of a new audience for Formula One. I'm sure they are trying to make their user base much younger. So that's also why this deal was strategic in the region. At the same time, Formula One also announced that they found a deal with in India, right?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that both the announcements have come together. I guess they, you know, took care of the rights.
One day difference, no?
Yeah. And it's also interesting that the Bahrain Grand Prix is next week on the 7th, I believe, which is Thursday.
Yeah, timing is good.
So great timing, right? I'm pleasantly surprised, but friends at FanCode have picked up the rights for India for 2 seasons, for the next 2 seasons. So it's not a 10-year deal, and you can guess why. You know, I mean, you have the big daddy Jio and others knocking on the door, Jio, Sony, etc. So they probably want to get more bang for the buck eventually. But yeah, it's, I think one of the reports that came out recently on Amazon Prime Video, which was done by Nielsen, actually showed that the Formula One viewers in India grew 50% year-on-year. So clearly a big audience available to watch Formula One. So FanCode picks it up, multiple devices, smart TVs, mobile phones, tablets. Pretty competitive pricing, you know, Yan. What I found interesting is they've declared the pricing for Formula One on FanCode. So race pass will be available for 49 rupees only. So they can you can actually watch a race, Formula One race, on FanCode for, in dollars, it's like 60 cents.
It's an add-on.
Yeah, it's an add-on. And season pass is 899 rupees, which is $11.
Very competitive.
Very good, no? And the it's so if you I think there's a discount available if you obviously pre-buy, and if you pre-buy it's like $7. So for the entire season.
Amazing.
So
So they definitely want to make it available to a lot of users.
and make it more make it more accessible, you know. So yeah, should be good, should be fun.
What's interesting is also to look at Grand Prix and where they take place. And there are a lot of Grand Prix in Middle East. So one in Bahrain, one in Saudi Arabia, one in Qatar, and the last one, in UAE, so Abu Dhabi. It's a lot, no?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think I have the numbers from last year. So over 500,000 fans in total attended Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia Grand Prix last year.
Well, no, not bad.
So definitely,
Yeah.
it's a it's a good, interesting region for them. I'm sure Formula One had a good deal to bring the Grand Prix in this region.
Yeah, absolutely.
One more point. So, Formula One was available on Shahid, I assume through SSC in the past few years. So now back on Bein. So we've been talking several times about the fragmentation of the sports rights, especially when it comes to streaming. So let's see. It's not the streaming war, but it's the sports streaming war, and I'm sure in the Middle East it's just the beginning.
I'm also reading, just to finish this point off, that Formula One had their own streaming service, right? Called F1 TV.
Yes.
And I remember, you know, just selling video technology and OTT tech to sports folks. Formula One was the gold standard in sports streaming, live streaming. They were amongst the first apps, Yan, in the world that actually had, you know, multi-camera angles, interactivity, changing the view of the camera feed.
Wow,
Yeah,
okay.
so you know, let's. I'm actually curious to see how Todd and FanCode in our respective regions will showcase this.
Yeah, you're right. Let's see if the Delta Tree can offer a nice experience. And I'm sure they already started working on it. Is the they announced the partnership very late on. I think the so Bahrain is part of the deal, I assume, so we should see it on Todd very soon. So let's try
Watch it.
to watch it, and we should have an answer very soon. Transformational week in India, media, big news. Finally.
Yes. So finally, you know, we have an announcement. All the speculation that people were making, that this new combination merger takeover. Finally, they're calling it a joint venture. And Reliance Industries, Viacom 18, which is again Reliance, both E-Tree Ventures, a few others, and the Walt Disney Company have inked binding agreements to create a joint venture. This merges the media operations of Viacom 18 into Star India Private Limited under a court-approved
Okay.
scheme. It's probably the biggest news announcement in media in India for a very long time. I think I have not, it's transformational because they have pretty much going to create a monopoly in sports, at least, if not more than sports. Yeah, so Disney plus Hotstar, Jio Cinema, coming together. It's a massive moment, massive disruption, I would call it. With together they own a lot of TV channels, and a lot of OTT platforms, Jio Cinema, and these are the two biggest ones, Disney plus Hotstar. So okay, you have the data in front of me. So they will cater to 750 million viewers, yen, over 750 million viewers in India and beyond, granting exclusive rights to distribute Disney content in the region to the JV. 108 plus linear channels, two OTT platforms, film studios. So this is just massive.
No, one comment I had, because we're talking about India, but I know now that Hotstar started distributing its originals not only in India but outside of India. So it's also a kind of a change of strategy, maybe to target other regions. But just a comment about the deal. I'm sure they will continue like this. Let's see.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Because you're right. Because in the announcement, they mentioned the diaspora. So I'm sure that Hotstar, obviously they would. I mean, they may call it, but Disney has its own, so they might call it just Hotstar outside, and have originals and all their movie content where they have rights for the overseas audience.
Do you think at some point they will buy 100% of the stake of Disney?
Yeah, for sure.
Sure.
For sure, knowing Reliance and the way they operate, it's just eventually they want to own it all. But yeah, the split right now is that RIL or Reliance Industries takes 16.34% ownership, Viacom 18 is 46.82%, and Disney is at 36.84%. So Disney still owns roughly 37% of the JV. But yeah, I was just quickly going to say that basically where I was very intrigued by overall, the announcement was sort of expected, but now, okay, it came fast and furious, and now things will start getting into motion. But the significance to the Ambani family, so they have named Miss Nita Ambani, who is Mukesh Ambani's wife, as the chairperson of the JV.
No way.
Yeah. And she has no experience in running an OTT or a media company. In fact, they were saying that she recently stepped back from the RIL board because she wanted to shift her pursuit to Reliance Foundation, the charitable stuff. And now they announced her as the chairperson, So it's close to their heart, the Ambani family.
It's a small family business.
And then I talk about this in my newsletter, but I was just thinking as to how it makes sense. But she is very close to the Bollywood guys, folks. Like she has these parties where Bollywood folks are there. There's a in Mumbai. There's the Reliance guys have launched something called NMACC, or Nita Mukesh Ambani Cultural Center, where they have like art shows and people from overseas come and perform. It's the biggest thing happening in Bombay. If you ask your friend from Katia who's in India, she'll tell you that this is everyone goes to this place in Bandra, Central Mumbai. So she also is involved in the ISL, which is the Indian Super League, which is the soccer football. The Mumbai Indians cricket team and the Lakme India Fashion Week. So there's this whole entertainment is completely boosting the Ambani family right now.
We have to go to those parties. Find an excuse. I
Yeah,
mean, you're right. It's good to know it's the same ecosystem, so I'm sure they will find let's say synergies. Next news about Ramadan. As you know, Ramadan is still very important when it comes to media, entertainment, streaming. This is the time of the year where the biggest Arabic new releases come out. And some of the players already announced their lineup. I would say the usual suspects, Abu Dhabi Media. They own TV channels, Abu Dhabi TV, Al Emirat, Bainuna TV, but also IDTV. You know them very well. Yeah, they announced a mix of content, so Emirati, but also regional content, and then different genres. But I would say the classic genres for Ramadan, so dramas, comedies, factual programs, cooking shows are very important. And then documentaries that are, let's say, spiritual documentaries, so religious. So, and then, coming from Egypt, of course, there is a drama called Yasmin Sabri, and then a sports drama also about an Emirati athlete in mixed martial arts. So it should be interesting. Another Emirati...
Nice.
Adventure, I would say. It's more in a historical drama about an Emirati sailors during World War II. So honestly, it looks interesting. At least it's of course it's Abu Dhabi, but most of the time they acquire content from outside. But I can see that this Ramadan they decided to focus a lot of on Emirati productions. So that's great.
Awesome.
Watch It also, so the main streaming service, one of the main streaming services in Egypt, announced their lineup. As you can guess, most of the content is Egyptian, so a lot of originals.
That's good. That's great, yeah.
Mixing Egyptian stars, but also Pan-Arab stars. And then, I can count like almost 10 productions that should come out very soon. And one more player that announced their lineup is a new one. So we mentioned it several times in the past few weeks. Yango Play. As you remember, so they not only acquired content, but they signed a partnership with other streaming players in the region. And of course, I was expecting them to invest in their own content. But they did even better. So they did not only acquire content, but they invested in co-productions.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It means they've been thinking about this and working on this for a long time, like a minimum of 6 months, a little bit more. And I discussed about their lineup with several people, experts on Arabic content, and all of them told me that it's a very strong selection. It's a mix of content coming from Saudi, Egypt, between their communication strategy, the launch, PR, marketing, and content, we can definitely say that this launch is a heavy one.
Let's see.
Yeah, we'll keep tracking this player. Okay, next news. Let's go back to India. So news about content again. Tell me everything about the India Today Group Originals.
Yeah, India Today, as most of the Indian viewers would know, is one of the largest news media companies based out of New Delhi. And, over the years, they've been known for, amongst other things, investigative journalism. You know, so they find stories from different parts of India and the world, and they tend to analyze it really deep. And yeah, the reporters, you know, obviously tend to be everywhere. You know, Yan, what I find interesting is that over the last two, 3 years, I think last 2 years, 2022 is when they announced this, is this news, is that they basically ventured into the originals space. So what I find interesting is that there's a news network, and also there's a parallel track that, non-fiction content is rising. Documentaries, etc. So India Today obviously has all the footage, all the content. And now India Today Originals is getting more and more active. Where in fact, I'll talk about it some more when I say about the big content that I've been watching this week. But they basically create documentaries about crime thrillers based on actual stories and, murder mysteries, but actual news that they've been covering. So fascinating.
Very interesting. We mentioned this, I think, a few episodes ago. Like there are much more. There are more and more documentaries.
Right. We covered the nonfiction, the growth of nonfiction shows. Yeah.
Yeah, and this production used to come from mainly international players, and now it looks like the local ones are catching up and at least trying to develop this
That's correct.
type of content.
Yeah. So I think, more and more of these news guys have an opportunity because they're sitting on the content themselves. And this is an interesting way to monetize it. So they've started a content hub to basically create content for two platforms, Prime Video and Netflix. That's it. That's the story from India Today. And I'll tell you why when I talk about why it's interesting when I talk about the big content piece that I've been watching on Netflix this week.
Okay, can't wait. In a few minutes.
Back to you. Yeah.
Last news about streaming in MENA. Interesting data that I read this morning, coming from a market report between Rise Studios. I know you know this company. They invest and support the production companies of the region, and they are the ones behind, for example, Dubai Bling. The report comes from them and, of course, Parrot Analytics, so one of the top market intelligence companies in the world. They found out that there has been an interesting surge in demand for non-English content in the MENA region. And so accounting for 40% of global demand in 2023, and it was 23 in 2018. So a big difference
Oh, wow.
in a few years, yeah. What they call Asian language TV. Yeah, it's a mix of Chinese, Korean, Japanese. So interesting trend. I was suspecting it, but it's good to see the numbers. And one more point that's also interesting is the growth of animation content. So in 5 years, the growth was from 6% to 12%. So definitely there's much more demand today. And of course, Arabic language demand is growing. Yeah, it's on the one hand, it's an interesting report with good data, especially the one about animation. The fact that Asian content is rising is not a big surprise. Same for Arabic. However, we are in 2024, so I would have expected much more details coming from a report like this one. For example, like we cannot anymore consider MENA as a unique country. The demand, especially in terms of content, is very different if you talk about UAE, if you talk about Egypt, about KSA, or other countries, like for example, in Maghreb. And same, like I'm sure that the Indian content is in high demand, like in UAE or other countries, but it will be totally different in Maghreb. I'm convinced also that Western content is very powerful still in UAE. Maybe it's not the case in KSA in Egypt. That's great that we have this kind of reports. However, they should be much more detailed. And again, like do not consider MENA as a unique country. It's much more complex than this. And in 2024, we should expect market intelligence company to explain this complexity.
Yeah, for example, I mean, basically, if you say, obviously, we live in the GCC, Arabic is going to be preferred. However, these reports should also touch upon maybe, how what percentage of the content which is not Arabic and is dubbed in Arabic, how does that impact the viewership? For example, I'll be curious to know how many people are actually dubbing it in Arabic and what the impact is.
Yes, and the results are very different, and depending on who you talk to, it's very different also. I know that Wayak, for example, they have a very specific strategy where they dub Indian content in Arabic. Having said that, I just discussed this morning with a major producer of Indian content, and they found out with on many studies that even like local Arabic people, they don't like to watch Indian content dubbed in Arabic because they now they know the actors, you know, the like, so even for them it's very strange to hear Shah Rukh Khan speaking in Arabic.
Ah, wow.
It makes sense, and I think the usage is evolving also.
Right. It's much more nuanced, than some of these reports make it out to be. Yeah.
Yeah, we want more and more reports, but transparency, but yeah, it's not easy for everyone. Let's try. That's also what we try to do with the Streaming Lab, like make sure that we explain with the right words, the right data, the right insights, analysis, what's happening in the region. And yeah, I don't say it's easy, but that's what we've been trying to do for more than 2 years now. Okay, what's it's time, Vinit. What's your streaming recommendation this week?
Okay, Jan, you have to watch this, man. This show, I think this is going to be... I mean, I basically binge-watched a show after ages. It's four episodes, 45 minutes each. I started watching it at 9:30 last night. And I watched it till like 12:30. I just finished the whole thing with my wife. And we were like, you just can't stop watching it, you know? So the show is called... The Indrani Mukherjee Story, Buried Truth. Netflix India released it on 23rd February. Actually, 23rd Feb was going to be the date. And then they had to push it back. So they released it yesterday or day before. And it's actually about this lady, Indrani Mukherjee, who was sent to jail for... murdering her own daughter. And the world, before that, the world thought that the person who she had murdered, this lady Sheena Bora, was her sister. And it's this crazy dynamic of how she went about, you know, doing the killing. And now the show actually... I did not know this, but I clearly missed this news, but she is out on bail. And all the four accused, all the four accused in the murder are out on bail. Now, the background, Jan, is that there's also the former Indian media baron who was the ex-CEO of Star India. Star India, Peter Mukherjee. And Indrani Mukherjee is his wife. And it's this whole pot boiler, you know, in India you say masala. It's a full-on masala view of what the press thinks, the media thinks, the cops think, how the different players, you know, it's a very dysfunctional family that they show. And in the end, I leave it up for the viewers to actually watch it. I don't want to give too much away, but it will hook you. It's in primarily in English, so, you know, that's that. And but yeah, it's, I think Netflix is going to gain a lot of mileage out of this, because this, when this news broke in India real time, the media went crazy. It was all over it. It people were really pissed.
When was it?
This was the news broke 2015, 16.
Okay, not that long ago.
Yeah. And this lady, I think, got bail post in 2020. And oh my god, it's crazy, absolutely crazy. Highly recommended watch.
How was the production quality? It's on Netflix, I assume.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good. It's made by a US-based company, Make. It's called Make. And the India Today Group.
And is it available in UAE?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Available in UAE.
Good.
Yeah. What about you?
You're going to say that I always watch the same kind of content. Yes, it's true. But for this one, no choice. So I recommend this week The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. So it's another spin-off. You remember I mentioned two spin-offs. I don't know what's happening with The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
assume it's a profitable franchise. That's why they keep releasing new spin-offs. But this one is a little bit special. Of course, you know, but I mentioned it several times. I'm not sure you watched it yet, but The Walking Dead like is the American post-apocalyptic horror drama TV series created for AMC many years ago, more than 10 years ago, I think. And this spin-off, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, is set after the conclusion of the original The Walking Dead series. So you have the main characters that keep their roles. And yeah, as I said, so it's not the first spin-offs following the Walking Dead success. I think it's the sixth spin-off. Imagine.
Wow, really?
But again, quality is amazing. I watched the first episode, so it's available on Starzone. And I cannot binge watch it because they release one episode per week. So I'll have to wait next week for the second episode. But definitely, I'll keep watching this one.
I'll check it out. That sounds really interesting, man. Yeah.
If you missed The Walking Dead, you'll have to watch 10 seasons first of zombies. So good luck.
I think I've watched like one season of Walking Dead.
I'm sure they produced it not only for The Walking Dead fan base, but to attract new ones. So you can go and watch it.
Zombies.
Exactly. And that's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you for joining us on the Streaming Lab podcast. Remember to subscribe to the Streaming Lab for more insights at thestreaminglab.com. Until next week, and don't forget, keep streaming. Bye bye.
See you later, guys. Bye.